I don't know about you, but when this whole coronavirus debacle showed signs of upending our lives for years to come, or not even, well, actually years and months to come, I started to think about all of the goals and dreams that might not happen because of it. I kept hearing the freaking phrase, when COVID is over. And the thing is, this whole situation is going to take a lot longer than a couple of months to wrap up. So I began thinking about the following question. How do we nurture our dreams during chaotic times? So I thought I would ask a few of my friends to share what they're doing to nurture their dreams, such as finding love, travel, growing their businesses, and more. I hope my friends Tanya Stumphauser from Budget and the Beach, Crystal Hammond from So So Fab, and Jessica Garbarino from Every Single Dollar will get you thinking about your dreams too. At the end of the show, I'll share what I'm doing to keep my dreams alive as well. My hope is that this show will re-energize you and get you thinking about what you can do to continue moving towards the life that you dream of for yourself. Are you wanting to create your first blog, podcast, book, or course? Not sure where to start? Make sure to text the following phrase, money hungry, to 66866 to get the free Do It Ugly toolkit today. Your project doesn't have to be pretty, it just needs to be done. You know I love making money with ebooks. Are you interested in doing the same? Watch the following 20-minute workshop, Why Now is the Time to Publish Your First Book, today. Just click the link in the show notes to take the workshop. If you've already decided to write your first book and need support and resources, make sure to join the Make Money with eBooks Academy, where you'll gain ongoing access to the following: a supportive author community, ongoing access to resources for your self-publishing journey, twice a month live office hours, author hot seats, in-depth coverage of the following topics: book writing, productivity, marketing, building your brand, pricing, and more, for an incredibly affordable price. Make sure you sign up. Go to the show notes for the links to that. You'll go to michelleismoneyhungry.com/how-to-nurture-your-dreams. Again, that's michelleismoneyhungry.com/how-to-nurture-your-dreams. To my friend Jessica Garbarino, who's going to share her thoughts on how she's keeping dreams alive, some advice she might like to share with you guys. And part of why I wanted to have this conversation now is we're going to be in this for the long haul, but life is like that. Like, we can't plan for things to be perfect. And given my previous experience with more than one recession, because I'm getting old enough that I've had more than one recession in my life, I've learned that you still have to nurture your dreams and live your life in the now. So Jessica, if you could introduce yourself and kind of talk about how you're nurturing your dreams in chaotic times, that would be awesome.
Sure. My name is Jessica Garbarino. I live in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. I have a blog called Every Single Dollar. I am nurturing my dreams by having learned from the last recession that I went through, and I'm having a very strange parallel experience happening right now where the same thing happened to me in the last great recession, where I had a recruiter that reached out to me via LinkedIn out of the blue. I wasn't looking for it, but they liked what I had in my background, my updated LinkedIn profile, and they reached out about an opportunity. And like it was in 2008, this was literally a week ago, and a week later now I have an offer for a job that is perfect and exactly what I've been looking for the last 5 to 10 years, quite frankly. So I think the biggest takeaway I can tell all of you, maybe from a very tactical standpoint, if we're talking about job and career, is keep that LinkedIn profile up to date. Make sure you tell every single, you know, skill and, you know, educational experience, volunteer experience. The reason that that recruiter actually picked me or reached out to me was because I had a specific experience with a specific software.
Oh,
literally, he told me that that's why He was a recruiter for NetSuite. They do net recruiting for people who know NetSuite, or they're trying to find people who know NetSuite. And because this controller position needed, they preferred someone who knew NetSuite. That's why he reached out to me. So,
well, actually, talking about NetSuite, this is not NetSuite, but when all of the states were preparing to help people get their unemployment insurance, one of the biggest issues they had was they needed to find people with a certain type of software experience. And come to find out, there's like a small, like tiny handful of people who have this software experience. Do you know how much money those people made updating all of those websites? Bank. And that's 50, you know, states. So the majority of those states did not have the updated software. So like in Colorado, people had to wait, especially if they were 1099 employees or self-employed, mm-hmm. they had to wait until that was updated before they could even apply for the unemployment insurance. So my point is, back to what Jessica was saying, you have to, any kind of software, any kind of skill set that you have, you must share it. You must.
And keep learning and growing too, because you never know where those additional skills that you're picking up throughout your career will take you. I mean, don't just stop with formal education that you've taken. Make sure that you're constantly refining your skill set always, because you just never know where that next opportunity is going to come from.
What about your personal dreams? Like, what are the things that you've been planning for that you're just like, oh crap, like, am I going to be able to do this? So an example of that would be, a very easy example would be travel. So there's all these people out there who maybe they postponed their big trip, right, for years and years and years, and this was the year. And obviously that has changed, like the ability, especially if it's an overseas trip, that the ability to do that's changed. Or maybe you're wanting to find the one, or maybe you're wanting to move, whatever it is. So if you could kind of talk about, if you feel comfortable, like a personal dream that maybe initially you're like, I can't believe there's a freaking pandemic and this was the year, or this was the trajectory that I was working towards. And how are you making adjustments to keep your dreams alive during this time?
It's funny, because I did have a bucket list trip planned for this year.
Really?
And it's in very dire jeopardy of not happening. It's going to Bermuda. Ooh. But it's all going to depend on whether or not Bermuda even allows people into the country. So even if I was allowed to like fly out internationally, doesn't mean that every country is going to accept you anyway. So I've just had to tell myself, well, not this year, but next, you know, like it's just, it'll get pushed off. I think part of it is that, as you know, Michelle, I became debt free, but that was a long journey to become debt free. And what that journey taught me was patience. Patience is huge, especially in delayed gratification, because I couldn't have instantaneous success with paying off debt. It took a long time to get there. So I think in some ways my mindset has changed, where if something gets delayed, it's okay, because I have other things kind of on the back burner that I have ready to work on that I can do that don't involve travel or whatever. So I think always having other alternative goals, because I think we should probably have more than just one to work on. You kind of have that backup one to go to. So those are the goals that I'm focusing on right now.
What would you say for that person who's feeling very afraid in this moment? Like, what advice would you have? And for listeners who are unfamiliar with you, could you share, a situation, or rather, could you share the situation that the last recession had you in? And I think it'll help them to know you're not talking at them, like you're empathetic to their experience that they could be having right now.
Yeah. I mean, the last recession, I've told people, it's like, the only reason I'm sane during this one is because what happened to me at the last recession. I lost two different jobs and I lost a home in 2008. I mean, I got down to like my last dollars, and I was just praying for anything to happen, like as far as work was concerned. And I was taking care of elderly grandparents as well, which added even more stress. So what I can tell you is that it's a temporary thing that we're moving through. It feels like it's permanent, but I'm telling you, it's not. And I think it's hard because we have nothing to look forward to right now because we don't know when that tunnel, the light at the end of the tunnel is. Like, nobody quite knows when that's going to happen. So I've had to kind of reframe and think, okay, what can I get done in the next day, the next week? My planning is a lot shorter in scope than it used to be. And I think if we can focus on that, that makes things much more bearable. I actually started, now it's been 53 days ago, I decided I was going to try to get 12,000 steps in a day.
Ooh.
And I just kept focusing on one day after the next. And all of a sudden now I'm here at day 53. I've lost 10 pounds unexpectedly.
What?
I know, right?
Oh my God. I need to get on this.
but part of the reason I did that was to keep my own sanity because I was kind of confined to my own apartment community. Right. And I'm like, I've got to get outside and get fresh air because I live alone. I'm going to go berserko being by myself. So I did it more selfishly for a different reason, but then I had other results that happened because of it that made me feel better. And I wasn't trying to go out there and like conquer the world and like make a bajillion dollars in 30 days or something like crazy. I was just focusing on one thing I could do each day that could help me mentally stay focused. So I think, again, I think shortening our scope of how far we're looking out and celebrating those victories along the way is helpful to feel hopeful.
I love that. I think literally we're going to end on that note. And I think one piece of advice or one thing that I've noticed from your advice is you focused on what you could control.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have Absolutely. So much that's, and actually normally we have so much that's outside of our control, but now we're very much having this collective universal experience. And it's to the point where it's just kind of hilariously crazy. So we'll look at memes about don't come to 2020. Like I've seen really funny memes about time travelers and like Back to the Future and
yes.
Marty McFly and how he's about to step out of, you know, the car and they're like, no, dude, it's 2020, get back in. and it's funny because even though this is a very intense moment, all I can do to keep myself sane, same as you, is I take one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I try to just stay mellow. Mm-hmm. I really understand that my pace is much slower. Mm-hmm. I'm giving a lot of people a lot more just grace.
Yes.
That's all we can do. I'm giving people grace and understanding that even when they're acting irrational, it's sometimes just out of fear, right?
Yep.
Because like, this is so out of our control. Congratulations on your new job. We actually talked about this before we start recording. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
Checking out the store, as I said, and people, please do make sure you check out Every Single Dollar. She talks about women and money, and definitely please do give it a read. Now I'm speaking with my friend, Tanya Stumphauser, who is from Budget and the Beach. I'm really interested in hearing what she has to say about nurturing your dreams during chaotic times. So Tanya, welcome. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me.
Well, thank you for having me. I always enjoy talking to you, Michelle.
What did you think when all of a sudden it was like, so hey guys, hey, we're in a pandemic.
Yeah, I feel like it had several stages, but I think probably for most people, the initial thing was a little bit of shock and, you know, hunker down, stay inside. I mean, I was afraid to go to the grocery store. I felt like I was walking into the lion's den. So I would say that first couple weeks was a little bit of that, okay, I'm inside, we're inside. I only went out when I absolutely had to or went for a walk or something like that. So that was how it was initially. But now I think we just as humans, we're very adaptable. We have to be adaptable. And I think that's where I am during this whole thing, is that I quickly adapted to what the new normal is and have started, you know, lived my life or continuing to live my life as best I can.
If you don't mind me asking, what dreams were you concerned about that, say, you were working towards before this happened? What were you concerned about, and what are you doing to keep those dreams alive and nurture them for yourself during this time?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was freelancing before, but I was focusing the majority of my attention on a beach volleyball company I was working with. And of course, beach volleyball is my passion, my livelihood, my hobby. I love everything about it. And then, of course, like a lot of gyms or a lot of classes, it was completely cut off. So I had no idea how we were going to survive as a company. Now, we do have an online platform, and we had produced a bunch of courses so that people can learn beach volleyball online. And we literally just finished up a ton of shooting and video editing, which is what I did, to put the courses together. So in that sense, we got really lucky with timing that we actually had shot and edited a bunch, and we're almost finished with putting the courses together. But as far as teaching classes and being able to shoot more videos, that came to a standstill. So I had to kind of pivot. I'm still working with them, but I had to kind of pivot. I had retired Budget on the Beach. I've brought it back. I hadn't produced anything for my YouTube channel. I'm bringing that back. So I've shifted into producing a broader variety of videos, not just for myself, but for other clients too. So that's where I'm at right now.
Did you feel some resistance to doing that? Like when you initially were looking at unretiring Budget in the Beach and creating this new content, were you just like, well, damn it, I was letting you go? Or were you like, okay, I let you go, but you keep pulling me back in, like the Godfather reference?
Right.
And what was the opportunity that you saw in reviving these projects?
Well, part of that had to do with you, Michelle, in that I had been encouraged from you and other people to start producing videos, to give people video tips on how to produce videos, especially for people who don't have a big budget or are just using their smartphone and some basic video editing equipment to produce their stuff. And so from there, I realized that I had to put my eggs in various baskets, that because I was putting my eggs in mostly one basket, that I couldn't rely on that. So it actually wasn't bad. I didn't mind bringing back Budget on the Beach at all. It's always kind of been my little pet, you know, that I just put it aside basically at the time because it was too hard to be focused on so many things, and I wanted to be more singularly focused. Mm-hmm. But I realized that now that as a freelancer, I just can't be, that I have to produce my own products so that I'm not relying on one client, one project. And if something happens with that, then I'm totally screwed. So I actually am enjoying the stuff I'm producing, and I'm learning a lot. It's still a work in progress. It's still experimental, trying to figure out what content to produce for not only Budget on the Beach, but for my YouTube channel as well, and what people are liking. Necessity is the mother of invention, right? So I've been able to dive deeper into analytics and finding out what content does best. So it's been kind of fun and interesting, a little hectic. I am busier than ever. I'm not saying that's like a good thing, but I have not slowed down. I'm pretty tired. let's use the word exhausted. I am pretty exhausted, but I have to keep going, and it's made me a lot more creative in every way because of this pandemic.
You're a freelancer, and with that comes a lot of uncertainty, and I think freelancers in particular are very well versed at managing uncertainty. What are some tips that you'd like to share with people who aren't used to managing uncertainty and having income all over the place and managing a time that feels really outside of your control?
A, therapy. B, Prozac. No. Wait, is that Prozac? What's the anti-anxiety?
I have no idea.
Really? I don't know either.
I don't even know. I think that's for ADHD.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. Except for therapy. I'd always recommend it. Wow. That's a tough question to answer because you just do. I wouldn't say that I'm the best at uncertainty, but you just press on. You just do things in spite of that. It's a really tough question to answer because I don't have it quite figured out myself. I mean, I think self-care has to be there. So if you're uncertain, you're going to have to find ways to deal with that, to read articles that help you anxiety, because that's kind of what the emotion is that's tied with uncertainty. Meditation, journaling, good sleep, healthy diet. Just also too, I think one of the big things is to, I read a lot of stoicism and their big thing is to focus on what you can control, because there's so much we can't control at all. It's the most uncertain time in my history anyway. So I try to do what I can to keep my side of the street clean, to stay in my lane, to not worry about what other people are doing. I can only control what I'm doing. I can only control my reactions to things and how I treat people and how I treat myself. And that is really all you can do. And, you know, if you do need therapy, I highly recommend it. This is a good time for it because it's really tough for people.
Was there a personal goal or two that you were working on right now, like working towards, and then, you know, what with the pandemic, you're just like, oh, F-bomb, are you kidding me? If that's the case, what are you doing to kind of keep that dream alive or work towards the end result that you're working towards?
Yeah, for personal goals, fitness and beach volleyball have always been the top things for me. I just absolutely love it. And of course, beach volleyball has been cut short. But I, again, with the creativity, I've been really, really good about every single day exercising, doing what I can. I mean, at first it was like limited to my balcony and just doing the strength workouts that I've been doing there. Then I've slowly started integrating whatever beach volleyball drills I could do. And that is against a wall, peppering to myself, throwing a tennis ball against a wall. Every single day I usually try to do something. So I am determined not to let everything go to waste, everything that I've trained so hard for. And I never had any particular goals other than longevity and to be strong. I do have a 50 by 50 list because I turned 50 in October.
Ooh.
I know where I have to look back at the list, but a lot of it is I didn't even think some things were going to come to fruition, like reviving my YouTube channel. That kind of happened by serendipitous accident.
Wait, did you share your list? I feel like you did.
I did share my list, but there were some things that I had like private, but I think that was one of them. It kind of evolved a little bit. I have to see what the final list is and check in with it. But one of the goals I had was to play in a CBVA beach volleyball tournament. CBVA stands for California Beach Volleyball Association. And I haven't played a tournament in years. And I have a lot of anxiety about tournaments as I do a lot of things. But as a way to just get over that anxiety and to just push through it and to do it anyway, I was going to do a tournament. I don't even know if they'll have them this year, to be honest. But that was the only kind of tangible goal I had with beach volleyball, other than just to get better and get stronger and stay healthy. And I think I've done a really, really good job of that. They finally opened the beaches here, in LA, but we can't play beach volleyball. So it's kind of the phases they have for reopening the beaches.
Yes.
And the first phase, which is they just opened the beach last week, is you can surf, swim, run, walk, exercise, but you can't lay out. You can't sit really. So today, actually, I had brought my cones and hurdles and ladders and set up shop by myself with lots of space around me and did a workout there, and just kind of proud of myself for continuing that fitness goal. And that's what I'm going to keep working towards, is getting stronger. I have a home gym. I'm going to have a home garage gym in my new place, and a handstand challenge. I think that's going to be the next one for me.
Is it, you kind of vaguely referenced this, you're moving. Does it feel weird to you that you're moving now?
No.
This time?
No, actually, I thought it was going to be because that was definitely a goal for 2020. And I thought when this pandemic hit that it was going to be impossible, that I was just stuck, that it was never going to happen. But I was kind of got online to see and checked out some vacancies. And I was like, well, I'll see how people are showing apartments. And turns out like people did lock boxes. So they give you the code and you just went in and checked it out yourself.
Oh.
Or, yeah. Or they just left the door open. Oh. Or they had. Hey, you know what? I mean,
that's a little sketchy.
it could be. And then some places did have a person who would show it, but you know, we wore masks. We tried to stay distant from each other. So as soon as I got back in my car, I hand sanitized, all that kind of stuff. So I was really surprised that that wasn't a factor at all. And even with getting the security deposit, which I had to get a cashier's check, you know, I had to wait in a really long line at Bank of America with my mask and the little spots. And it kind of took forever because there's not a lot of Bank of America's open, but it's doable. And I think there's a lot of vacancies right now. And even getting like a moving van was really cheap. And there was a lot of stock. So maybe now is the best time. Actually, I had talked to the people at U-Haul and I said, hey, have you guys been slow? But they're like, we are busier than ever. So
wow.
Yeah, and as it goes along, it could be, there could be more vacancies opening up depending on like how the economy goes. Right. Of course, it's sad that that's a factor, but it really wasn't difficult at all, except for moving. It's just me and my friend.
Oh.
You know, this is really funny is I've had more people sort of volunteer to help me move. But here's here's what they do. They say, hey, you know, I know heard you're moving. Just let me know if there's anything I could do to help if you need help moving. I'm like, well, hey, look, I'm not asking anybody to help me because of the situation. I totally understand. They're like, yeah, I've been around other people or I've had to go into work or I need to wear more something. They've been around. I live with somebody who's really immunocompromised. I'm like,
oh,
so you knew I was going to say that. Like, I love it.
Whatever.
Like, they totally volunteered, right? They're like, oh, no.
I'm so shady because I don't volunteer anymore to help people move. Like, I'm like, I refuse. I'm like, I will give you money towards a mover or like money for pizza, but I just don't help people move anymore. I've become that friend.
Yeah. No,
over 30. Okay. Like, I don't want to jack up my back.
I totally understand. And I actually, besides for my best friend who is just going to help me because he's like my person, he's obligated to me. That's the only person I asked, and together we're going to have to tackle it. So, hey, more of a workout and strength training for me. Right. But I just love the half-assed volunteering that I
can. Well, always. I said, I'm shady.
Yeah.
What's next? Like, what do you imagine a year from now for you?
Ooh. Yeah, I think, you know, oh God, I hope we're playing beach volleyball again. And I think it's for personal, definitely being as strong and as healthy as I can be. I would like to be an example for women who are, I hate using the word middle-aged, so we're going to say around my age. Not millennials.
Millennials are old as fuck too. Pardon my French. Okay, that's true. They're not the Gen Zs. Like, it's funny because I've seen millennials get really irritated because everyone's like, those millennials, because we're so used to, I think people are so used to referring to them as children, but they're grown ass adults now. They're like freaking in their 40s. So, you know.
Are they in their 40s already?
Yeah. The oldest ones are like 40-ish. So
no way. Oh, that's really
so the Gen Zs are the ones that are, you know, getting our ire.
Well, let me rephrase that. I would like to show that no matter what age you are, especially as females, as our bodies change, that you can still be really strong and you can work out and do things that you didn't think you could do. I want to show that that's possible and that there's so many different types of things you can do. Like right now I'm trying to do pull-ups and chin-ups. So I have a chin-up bar that my friend let me borrow and getting better at that because I just don't think people think it's, you know, like once you hit a certain age that, oh, well, it's just too late, or all I could do is walk or something. But
Coloradans don't think that way. I'm going to be honest.
Like, good.
Like Californians and Coloradans, I think, are pretty in alignment about what you can do regardless of age, like what physical feats you can do. And every time I go snowboarding, freaking 80-year-olds smoke me. 80-year-olds and 4-year-olds.
Yeah. On the mountain. And that's awesome.
Like, yeah, it's always 4-year-olds and 80-year-olds. And I'm just like, dude, like that's not okay. So have you ever considered starting a fitness, like a fitness focused project?
That's kind of funny you ask that, because people are all the time coming up to me like, oh, you need to train me. You need to train me. Although I, to be honest, I really don't have an interest in going through like a personal training certificate.
No one said you had to.
Yeah, I know exactly. At this point, I think, you know, I might test those waters just to see if I can get people like motivated to work. Mostly I just try to get people to work out with me so I have buddies, but I kind of do it anyway. I think my website already does focus a lot on that, and my blog or my YouTube channel will focus a lot on that as well. I just shot a little video today of the workout I did, and it's going to be part of, I think, what people seem to be the most interested in my blog that have done the best and on the YouTube channel is sort of lifestyle videos, but oh, also yeah. Centered
around those videos.
Yeah. Also centered around California, LA. So there's a lot of interest in cost of living. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of interest in people moving here, kind of like your Square State blog. I think there might be more of that. I know you talked a lot about with me doing the how-to videos, and I think that's going to be there, but it may not be as much of a main focus as I thought it was going to be, because I think there might be more opportunity in presenting the lifestyle of California and LA specifically.
I would totally
around would money. Yeah, that's the thing.
Absolutely fascinating. Like when you were doing, in fact, the piece of content that you just shared.
Yep.
I think it's apartment porn.
LA apartment porn. Yep. Yeah,
I'm like, whoa, this is fascinating. Just the pricing and the location and just the process. And because it's a lot for us to wrap our heads around if we haven't lived in a large city like that. And also LA is just a very interesting city. It just,
yeah, so diverse. And so,
yes. So I look forward to hearing more about this and watching more videos. And for people who are listening, how can they get in touch with you? And also how, if they want help with video editing, how can they get connected with that?
Yeah. So my blog is Budget in the Beach, and that's budgetinthebeach.com. And that's where I write about most things. That's where all my content is kind of filtered through. I have a YouTube channel, which is kind of too complicated to explain that URL, but you can certainly find my YouTube channel if you go to my blog, Budget in the Beach. And for my video business, it's tanya-stumphauser.com. And that's basically, it's just my, all of my work, my demo reel, examples of work that I've done. And that's pretty much all that site is focused on there. So all of my how-to videos are filtered through Budget in the Beach.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. And one of the things you didn't know was in my previous conversation, we were talking about what is it that we can do during this time. And we, myself and the other guests were like, you can just focus on what you can control and one day at a time. And you said the same thing. So I feel like there's a theme here.
Well, yeah. What else? I mean, it's just so crazy. There's so much information and so much contradictory information out there. You'll go insane if you try to figure it out. You just got to like practice a lot of self-care and focus on what tangible things that you can actually control. So taking care of your health, fitness, eating well, getting sleep are all things you can control. Well, maybe not the sleep part. I haven't figured that out.
Thank you, Tanya.
Thank you.
I am so excited to have my friend Crystal Hammond on the show today. And I've spoken to a couple other people. You guys may have written down some of the ideas that they shared about how they're keeping their dreams alive, both personally and professionally. And Crystal, what exactly are you doing to keep your personal and professional dreams alive. It could be that you're expanding a side hustle or you're looking for love. Like, what are you doing? We want to get in your business.
I love it. Hi, thanks for having me, Michelle.
You're here.
Thank you. So professionally, I would definitely say I've ramped up my side hustling. And it seems counterintuitive, but it seems like the more that I've been giving, the more I've been receiving. I started off helping out with the making of the masks. And the more I've given, the more things have come to me of, you know, people wanting to help out, you know, in any ways that they can. People showing their appreciation, like the little thank you notes I receive are like the cutest thing ever. But I've also had to I've kept my daily routine too. I love people. I love going to work. And so, you know, not leaving the house has been a downer. So I still get up every day at the same time. I still get dressed. Like, I have my exact same routine that I did every day. So, you know, I'd make my smoothie in the mornings. And I guess instead of just walking out the door, I walk over to my desk. And that's been keeping me pretty sane, I guess. So I've been trying to just keep my routine and just sticking through. And that's been very helpful, is just sticking to my routine. Of course, I'm looking for love, but obviously love's not going to find me at home. But I've still been afraid to do like the online profile. And I keep telling my friends, okay, when I'm ready, I'll have you guys write my profile. Because I think,
you know what? It's so funny, and I just interrupted you. So sorry. I think it's so funny that you bring this up. I just got paid a nice chunk of money writing a post about how online dating actually is really picking up and how now is a really good time for it, because it's like we're not as easily distracted by things to do. Like, what are you going to do?
That is, you know, so what I mean? True. That is
so true. There's this opportunity to be courted. Because it's going to take a lot more for me to say, yes, you can like be near me, like literally near me, because I need to like vet you a lot more than even before.
So, and there's more time to do it. Yeah,
exactly. So I would say if that's on your list, get on it, get your friends like do your profile. I'm going to like email you in 2 weeks and ask you.
Oh,
if you
no. Okay.
I love that idea. Social pressure. I know that you also teach Zumba. Are you still teaching Zumba? Like, what role does fitness have in keeping you like focused and sane during this time?
I've noticed there was definitely an ebb and flow to it. In the first couple weeks, I still try, because I have it as a meeting request on my calendars, and I've always kept it. I haven't canceled, quote unquote, because that keeps me motivated also. So even the times that I was teaching, I still try to do something, even if it's just go for a walk. Because again, people person, working out by myself does not compare to having my room full of my favorites, my people. But I'm still doing stuff on my own. Actually, the fitness center where I teach, they want us to do little 5 and 10 minute videos. And of course, I'm overthinking making that video too. That added a little more pressure. But other people, students from the gym, they're like, can you let us know when your video is posted? Because we want to see you. Aww. So I guess it's like a lot of my routines too. It's like, okay, you really weren't doing this just for you. It's for them too. So you need to keep the motivation going. Because a lot of times people go to certain classes because they like the energy of the instructor.
Oh, yeah.
Too. You know, if the instructor didn't bring that energy, I wasn't returning. I'd even leave in middle of classes. And I tell them that too. I'm like, hey, you're not held hostage. You're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. You don't have to stay. So just doing things like that. But I am glad a lot of other things have gotten canceled. And you did bring up a good point with the dating thing, because I have had more time to meditate. I've been meaning to meditate. So now, since I don't have to rush out of the door in the mornings, I do have extra time to meditate in the mornings. Even at bedtime, I have time to meditate again. So all these things have been canceled. Instead of being upset about it, I've taken a more internal look and say, hey, what are you supposed to learn from being at home alone all this time? Mm. What are you supposed to be working on? So I've been trying to figure out, you know, why this is happening, why I'm home alone, and what I'm supposed to learn from it, instead of just, you know, harboring on the fact that, oh, I want to be outside, or I want to be right here or there. It's just, okay, why are you here, and what can you learn from it?
You know, it's really interesting because we're both single. We are living on our own. I'm going to not say alone because we're very much, right, you know, gregarious, you know, people persons. But I think the thing that you said in that statement is very interesting. You made the point that this is really a time for self-reflection. And I think that a lot of people might find that really uncomfortable. How do you get comfortable with some of the answers about yourself that maybe you were like, oh, I didn't realize that. and once you get the answer about why a thing is working well for you or not, what's the plan from there?
I guess I've gotten a lot of guidance on this journey too, which the stuff I hadn't thought about, like people I hadn't talked to before, like hearing people's voices and just getting, like, you know, criticism and feedback and stuff like that. And it's been eye-opening, to say the least, just because a lot of things, like, I had on autopilot, I didn't realize that, I guess it should have been a time to not change, but pivot, if you will. I feel like that's an overused term too. Like,
no, but
like,
I mean, oh, it totally makes sense. Pivot.
But yeah, it's just like personal pivoting that I've needed to do that I hadn't done, just because I'd been in such my routine of hustle and bustle. So this slowing down routine has really had the chance for me to try things I've never tried, listen to, you know, stuff that I was ignoring or didn't want to hear. And so now I'm like, not forced to sit and listen, but it's more like a, okay, I'll embrace. And it's just, everything is trial and error in the first place. So I'll keep doing what's working, and then I just won't do what isn't working. But the whole point is just at least try, you know, and just all these different things. Because even a lot of online things, some of the things I've been meaning to do, just never gotten around to it. So now I'm getting a chance to try these things and to see what's working and what's not.
What does a year from now look like for you, both, not even professionally, like just personally? What are you now going to work towards that maybe you weren't working towards before? And what advice would you give someone else based on that?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess it's more my intentions will be set more clearly, because I've also been meeting with a group of friends too from a mastermind group that I'm in. And instead of just letting the day run me like I've always been doing, I've set a goal for every single day. And this sounds so elementary. And of course, you know, anybody can set a goal for a day, but I was more intentional with my goal for the day. And it's just opened up doors for me as far as my professional life and my personal life. I didn't realize I had it all backwards. When I'd be at work, I'd be miserable a lot of times at work because I'd be thinking of the other things that I wanted to do. So now, since we have more of a flexible schedule, I've been doing my quote unquote fun work, my side business work, you know, when I get up in the mornings, and then I set aside my time. I give myself like 3 or 4 hours for the quote unquote, you know, fun stuff or side business stuff. And then I do my work. And I found that I'm getting a lot more work done just from making that switch. Before, I was dreading my work because I wanted to get to the fun stuff, but now I get the fun stuff out of the way. Not that work isn't fun, that's fun too, but it's become more fun because I've taken the stress away. Ooh. And that's an advice I would give. Just set an intention for the day. Like, we work in cases at work. So I was like, I have to get something done that day. And just that small tweak I love my job again, and it's not as stressful as it used to be, just because I don't sit and work thinking, okay, I have time to finish this later. I have time to do this, you know, because we have all these work from home hours, but
right,
starting to cut off times. When I'm setting these cutoff times, that's actually helped me be more productive. So just because we're home all this extra, quote unquote, extra time, I'm giving my extra time a purpose. Like, hey, I want to watch TV for three. Today is my 3-hour watch TV day. Well, you know, like I'm scheduling things in like that, not just saying, oh, I have plenty of time. I'm actually appropriating my time.
And what does next year look like for you?
So next year,
because we're in this for another year. So what does next year look like?
Yeah, because obviously I loved traveling too. So I'm definitely going to wait. I'm sitting this out. I'm going to wait this out. I'm going to be patient, but I'm going to keep working and tweaking the system, because I did. I had a hard time in the beginning slowing down because I was still figuring out, you know, I had all this extra time and I should be doing this and I should be doing that, instead of listening to my body and saying, you know, what do you want to do? What do you want to do today? How many people get up and say, hey, what do you want to do today? As opposed to what should you be doing today? Mm. So me in a year, I feel like I'll be doing more of what I want to do instead of what I should be doing.
Cause life is short. Like that.
Yeah. Life is short. And I'm realizing that it's time to do what I want to do instead of what I should be doing, because that what you should be doing mentality it's not fun a lot of times, especially when you don't live up to these, you know, should expectations. Like, did you do what you wanted to do today? Yeah. And, you know, that's easier to live with, or, you know, that's more fun than, oh man, I should have had 10,000 words written, or I should have had all my social media stuff posted for the week or planned out for next month since I have all this extra time. But no, it works better for me when I figure out what I want to do and just chunk away at it bit by bit, instead of trying to conquer the world in a day, in this one extra day.
I like that. So thank you so much for sharing what it's like in this moment now and how you're fueling your dreams and getting focused. You left me some ideas and some things to consider, to be honest. And I think that what I really love in the takeaway is just give yourself some grace.
Yeah. And credit too. Like, ooh, we don't pat ourselves on the back enough.
Now that you've had the chance to listen to my friends share what they're doing to keep their dreams alive, I thought I would share some of my thoughts about this topic as well, and what I'm doing to kind of focus on my dreams. And before I get into that, I will say that I picked these ladies for a specific reason, and they're all pretty similar in certain ways. They are all single currently. They're women. They're Gen Xers. They are either self-employed or entrepreneurs, or they're a hybrid where they're employed in a 9-to-5 and an entrepreneur. I can only speak for myself when I say that when it became clear that we were in this for the long haul, I thought, holy crap, what about my dreams for finishing up paying off my remaining unsecured debt, for traveling abroad and finding love? It really felt like all of my dreams were just going to be put on hold, especially in the beginning when this all started and we were hunkered down and in our houses. I was just like, I don't know what to think about this. But then I began to notice a few things as time went on. And the first thing was, as I started going to like my local coffee shop where we could order from an exterior window and sit on an outside patio, not close to anyone, I started noticing I was getting hit on a lot more than I had been in years. Like, all of a sudden, I don't know if it was that weird, like, this, it's the end of the world, I might as well find you. I don't want to think it's that, but maybe it's one of those, maybe I shouldn't be waiting on meeting the one or meeting someone. And I've been hit on more in the last couple of months than I have been in several years. So that was actually kind of awesome. I noticed that organic conversations were still happening like before, and I was meeting a lot more of my neighbors. I actually know a lot of my neighbors, but my habits changed. And so I was going to a different space, and I was meeting more people from my neighborhood, and they were so interesting. We would have conversations about politics. Yes, about politics. We're all aligned in the same way, so it wasn't, you know, like, scary. Or we would share our thoughts about the lockdown, or just talk about the weather. And it was so wonderful. And it was wonderful because I didn't feel so alone. And I felt like I was part of a community of really awesome people. And it reaffirmed my choice of the neighborhood that I live in. I still was making money online and in fact was busier than ever because businesses had reached out to me to work on projects and I was still selling my own products and the sales went up. So that still happened. And I was reminded of the following. Life moves on whether or not we're in quarantine. And as long as I'm waking up each day, like literally as long as I wake up, that's a win. And it's important that we remember that nothing is certain beyond uncertainty. My dreams haven't changed, but the process for how I reach those dreams definitely have to be reworked. And I also have decided and understand that my dreams and yours still matter, especially now. And they matter because dreams fuel hope. So I want to leave you with some final thoughts before the end of this show. So the first is, it's not selfish to continue pursuing your dreams. It's necessary at times like this when things feel so out of control, out of our control. Giving yourself grace during these times is imperative. Like, you can't be hard on yourself. Just do the best you can. That's literally it. Just do the best you can. Manage your expectations. I'm going to keep it real and say that I'm moving a lot more slowly than before. Like, before I would have really pushed myself to do a lot of things. And right now I just can't. My sleep schedule is off. My neighbors are home all the time. Their sleep schedules are off. And we're all just trying to make it through this the best we can. And so I understand that I have to just manage myself the best I can under these circumstances. Heck, I'm day drinking and eating ice cream at all times of the day. Like, I'm just doing what I'm doing and it's fine. It's okay to admit that you have some regrets and you might be facing those regrets now because you have time to kind of think about them. When Crystal was talking about kind of reflecting on why she is where she is, I felt that because right now I have no one else to kind of bounce things off necessarily in my house. Like, it's just me. And so I'm here with my thoughts and sometimes they're not always pretty. And I think it's important to share that. And I do have regrets. It doesn't mean that I have to like linger on those regrets. It just means that those are the regrets that I have, but moving forward, I can take different actions. And one of the regrets I want to share is I believe that people in general can be either too cautious about how they live their life or too reckless, that there's this nice in between. And I can tell that I've become a lot more cautious about the things that I do, especially because I've been working so hard on paying off my debt and trying to get that done. And I definitely do not regret working towards that goal, but I do think that maybe I could have done it in a slightly different way. Risks open you up for growth, like personal growth. And I feel like I still have room for risks that I need to embrace. And I plan on doing that more and more, especially because I think it's important. It just takes one failure or success to make a difference. And the key is not to freak out when you're dealing with a failure. Here are some action steps that both myself and you could take moving forward as we work towards our dreams, especially given what we're dealing with now. If you want to fall in love, set the intention and sign up for some online dating. Join a community of interest. Everything's online now, so it's not like it's difficult to get out there and connect with people with similar interests. I actually have a friend who was in a Facebook group, and it is a FIRE Facebook group. So it's Financial Independence Retire Early. And she connected with this guy who was in the group. And it was really interesting because he kept bringing up like he's looking for this type of person and blah, blah, blah. And he had a crush on her and he reached out and they hit it off. They're married. Like, it was a whirlwind and they're adorable and they're doing really well. My point is, people don't know that you're looking for love if you don't let people know that you're looking for love. So just saying, like, let people know. If you're looking forward to international travel or just exploring your own country, spend some time focusing on the location or locations that you plan on going to. Work on the budget, look at the ticket prices, read up on the place, read travel blogs, buy a candle with the name of the place, get it on your vision board. Like, really commit to the idea of going to this place. That's what I did for every big trip that I've done. That's what I've done. I've gone like crazy about the place that I'm going to. So when I went to Australia, when I decided to quit my job, when I went to Australia and Hawaii, it was crazy. It was like I had a shrine to Australia and Hawaii in my home. Like I had candles. I bookmarked different shows about it. I would go online and look at the places. I would talk to my friends who were from those places. Like I always kept it real in my mind. And it really, by doing that, that really fueled my energy to go. And so if you were wanting to travel, don't be like, well, I was supposed to be in Barcelona in April. April's over, okay, people? You're not there. But Barcelona still is there and has been there for hundreds of years. So it's likely, barring some craziness, because it is 2020 and Godzilla could still show up. But my point is, it's likely it's going to be there next year, the year after. So start planning now. Adjust, because that's all we can do. Want to get fit? Set a fitness focus goal that is super easy for you to focus on. Jessica mentioned how her one goal was to get outside and get fresh air and walk 12,000 steps a day. That was her only goal. And she was like, I wasn't trying to lose weight or anything. And I just wanted to move, because she lives by herself and she needed to get out and see people. And she ended up losing 10 pounds. It was a super simple goal and she got it done. If you want to learn a new language, watch a video in a different language once a day, or set 10 minutes a day towards that goal, or download a free language app. Like there's so many ways that we can do these things nowadays. You can watch your favorite show in the language that you're trying to learn on Netflix or Hulu. So I've studied Spanish and French. I'm trying to really get back into Spanish, and I plan on watching shows, like super easy. If you're looking to earn more money, right now is tricky because no one wants to be dealing with physical, actual people, but there's a number of ways that you can make money online. Right now, I'm making money with my eBooks. Like every day I wake up and they're selling. So there's a number of ways you can make money online and not risk yourself. So maybe spend some time trying to figure that out. How can you make money online so that you can use that money towards, you know, a savings or debt payoff or what have you? And then finally, focus on taking things easy and managing the action steps that you set for so that you're not overwhelming yourself. Your dreams matter, and I really hope this episode reaffirms that notion. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to like and subscribe the show. Definitely reach out to me if you want to touch base. Email me at michelleismoneyhungry@gmail.com. Wash your hands and take care.